Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to this special edition of the Daily Drum, Grilling on a Budget. We are broadcasting live outside our WHUR studios, and we're sharing some grilling tips. Whether you use a gas or a charcoal grill, there are some key things you need to keep in mind. Of course, we're going to go back to our Grilling on a Budget experts. We have Muriel Garr. She's a senior vice president at SunTrust Bank. Also, we have celebrity chef Teresa Cross. I want to start with Teresa. We didn't hear a lot from her, and I want to try to get into the head of a barbecue genius. Okay, So she said she gave me the side eye. You see that? So, Teresa, talk to me about, when it comes to barbecue, what is your specialty? Go ahead and give away a secret. It's just you and me.
All right. So, first of all, when I'm grilling, I like to get my grill hot. A lot of people like to get their coals on, the fire, the flame still flying. They put foil on their grill. I despise that.
Like, why is that? What's going on with
a lot of people do it because they don't want to burn their food. But actually, you're taking away from the flavor. And if you just let the fire die out and let your coals get really hot, you have no problem. Just put the food on there when it gets done. I like to close the grill after I light it and have the flames going out a little bit. Close it and get the grill, the actual grill that you lay the food on, get it nice and hot. So when you put your food, your steak or ribs or chicken, it gets a nice sear really fast. Mm-hmm. And then you can turn it and, you know, it makes your food come out a lot better.
And talk to me a little bit about the grill sprays. Good idea, bad idea, and if so, how do you use it?
It's an excellent marketing idea. You know, someone to come out with a cooking spray for a grill when we have like 1,001 different sprays you can use in a pan. Same difference. You can use just a regular old cooking spray on your grill. And what you do is you spray your meat. So after your meat is seasoned and everything, you spray the meat before you put it on the grill, and that prevents it from sticking. But what also prevents it from sticking is to cook the food all the way through. So once your food is cooked on that side, if it's sticking, that means it's not cooked. If it's still sticking, that means your food is still kind of still raw right there. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's sticking, because it's hot. You know, it's the heat according to the raw meat. So the sprays are excellent, especially with fish. If you want to grill fish, a lot of people are really intimidated by it. But if you put some spray on your fish on whatever side you want to cook it on first, just spray it with some cooking spray, lay it on the grill, turns out perfect.
Now, of course, we're talking about grilling on a budget. And for people such as yourself, you know, you're a chef. I know you spare no expense. But with that said, for those who don't have an unlimited budget and you want to have a family gathering, say you want to cook for 10 people or so, give me some tips to make sure that you don't break the bank while you're trying to have a good time.
Buy what's on sale. Okay, try to buy things that's on sale. And like in the summertime grilling season, meats are always on sale. You can always buy a meat in bulk for little or nothing, you know, especially chicken and the ribs. People say, oh, ribs are expensive. No, well, they are on sale a lot. You can get a slab of ribs for like $11 sometimes. So that's a good buy. Always look for sale items. And if you have to go to the store that's not so closest to you, you're still going to save. Gas doesn't cost that much.
Beef or pork for you?
And when it comes to ribs, pork.
Okay.
Yeah. Beef ribs. Only way I eat my beef ribs is if they're braised. The only way to get them tender.
Okay. Yep. And before I go to Muriel, I do want to talk a little bit more about your specialty, because that was the kind of the original question. And mm-hmm. I asked you about some secrets and you just slid right by. What is going on with the chefs here? I asked for just a little bit of a secret.
And as an entrepreneur, her recipe needs to be trademarked. And if she gives it to you and the millions of people that are listening to you via the World Wide Web and on Sirius, then how is that going to impact her business?
You're not helping.
So we want to follow the chef.
We want to follow the chef.
We want to actually
to the kitchen.
We want to actually be a supporter of the chef by buying her product.
But how will I know that it's good unless she tells me?
But she because you're going to taste it first with your eyes, then you're going to taste it with your nose because you're going to smell it, and then you're going to cut into those succulent braised beef short ribs that
braised.
She has prepared, and you're just going to let that flavor just drip right through.
Napkin or no?
Napkin or no.
Let's see. You two have been friends for a while. Okay. But tell you what, if you can't tell me a secret, give me a good tip to make sure that, for example, a nice spare rib is not ruined on the grill.
Don't cook it too short. Because a spare rib is tough. Mm-hmm. And so it has a lot of fat, but it's still a tough cut of meat. And when you cook it and you're thinking, oh, it has a char on it, it must be done. It's not done. You have to really make sure you cook it in constant turn it to keep it tender.
Do you parboil your ribs?
Oh, no.
What's going on with that? Because I know a lot of people parboil their ribs.
Parboiling ribs. I don't think it's a bad thing. I just think that's the amateur way out. Mm-hmm. You know, if you parboil it, that means it's almost cooked. So once you get it on the grill, then you have much, you know, little or no time on the grill because the meat is essentially cooked.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let me go over here to Muriel Garr with SunTrust Bank. Now, you know, Muriel, we've been talking money.
Yes, and we have.
And grilling, you know, on a budget. But I never asked you, do you do any grilling? At all? Do you do any cook? I don't know. That's why I asked.
Yes, I grill and yes, I cook.
Okay, well then.
And I cook at home. And the mm-hmm. reason being, since we're talking about grilling on a budget, mm-hmm. I cook at home because I understand that the average consumer spends $171 somewhere about a month eating out.
Okay.
Now, if you want to look at a way to save some money, the first thing that you need to do is think about eating at home or packing your lunch and bringing your lunch. So, yes, I cook. Yes, in the summertime, I also grill. I prepare for the summer, though, in the winter. Mm-hmm. So that means I buy my grill off season.
Really?
Because that's the best time to purchase a grill, off season. They're on sale. You get them for half the cost, and you can get the best grill off season. And in addition to that, I don't just also grill. I do things like homemade ice cream and other things. I buy all of those summer items in the winter off season. I can get them for 50 to 75% off. Store them for the winter. Store them during the winter. When summertime comes, I bring them out. I shop sales, as the chef said. I clip coupons.
A coupon, you know, and that's the interesting thing about it.
Everything.
You know, a lot of people
without a coupon.
Say again, chef.
I don't buy anything without a coupon in most places. If I can find one on my phone before I get in the store, or I have a store coupon, I have an app on my phone that lets me know what's in my area that's on sale. I try to shop everything with coupons because that's the only way you can save.
And nowadays, there's no reason why a consumer cannot get the best value for their money because their cell phone is their best marketing device. You can pull your cell phone up in the middle of Whole Foods, Safeway, Giant, wherever you are, and you can do a price check. And the thing about it is, in some instances, you don't even need to leave the store where you are. If you find the item cheaper somewhere else, you're at the register, you say, oh, wait a minute, chicken's on sale across the street, 49 cents a pound. Manager.
And see whether or not they'll do a match or give it to you for cheaper.
Most times they will.
To keep your business.
Of course, because it's all about keeping the consumer happy. And so those are the types of things that we can do, simple things where we can enjoy family time, because family and friends time, because that's what we like to do in the summertime. Mm-hmm. The whole thing about grilling is you're outside, you got everybody around, we're having fun, we're eating, playing cards, the children are playing, whatever. And it's just a great time to fellowship via a meal.
Now, you're not going to be opening up your own barbecue place, are you?
No, but I...
So you can tell me your secret, man. You can give me a recipe. You can give me a tip. Because, see, Chef Cross is... Lips are sealed. We're going to follow her.
Harold, my tips are money tips. I am not going to mess with the chef.
Oh. Basic dry rub things you can do that you have in your home. Like, everyone has salt, sugar, pepper and garlic powder in their house. I mean, just about everyone. You can use that as a dry rub. Brown sugar, a paprika, a coarse salt, some kind of kosher salt or sea salt, which is better than table salt, and garlic powder. You know, I try to use garlic salt because you're already using salt, plus you can't gauge the salt that's in garlic salt. So try to use core things like that. And salt, pepper, paprika is a basic barbecue staple. And
you mentioned sugar. Yeah. Now, what is it that sugar does when you're actually massaging that or rubbing that in the meat?
The brown sugar breaks down the salt. It takes, you know, because the meat, whatever meat you're using, more than likely already has sodium in it a lot. So the brown sugar cuts some of that, and it gives you that smokiness and sweetness to your meat when you actually barbecuing it. And it gives you that glaze over top of it. Sometimes you see the meat with it like it's dripping wet. That's the sugar that's melted down.
Talk to me a little bit about... And this goes to the heart of the cooking process, because one of our contestants here, we had a hot side, We had a cool side on the charcoal grill, and he cooked his chicken all on the cool side.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a way that I do. I do a quick smoke like that. Mm-hmm. I'll take my coals and set them to a side. I'll get them all hot on one side of my grill. Then I'll put my meat on the side where there's no coals. And it'll take maybe a couple of hours. It depends on how much meat I'm cooking. And it can smoke your meat like that without actually having a smoker.
Now, about the smoking, because this is something that a lot of people have a question about. What kind of wood do you use? Do you use chips? Do you use the logs? How do you keep it from burning?
I use chips mostly because I like to play around with flavors. Mm-hmm. So I might mix up an apple and a maple chip or, you know, peach chips. Like when I travel a lot, so when I go out of town, I try to pick up different things from different regions of the world because everybody don't have the same thing that we have, and everybody's barbecue is different from different parts. You know, you can go to the South, you can get a white barbecue from Alabama, you can get a yellow barbecue from the Carolinas or the vinegar base, and we here kind of tend toward the vinegar and the ketchup base, mm-hmm. the tomato rather base. So, you know, I like to play around with flavor. So when I travel, I try to pick up little things here and there and mix it up and give your food a different flavor.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things I did want to share with both of you, I need Troy Johnson. Troy Johnson, can we borrow you just for a moment?
Harold, as I stuffed my face.
Yeah, I was going to say... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wanted him to take that chicken bone out of his mouth.
it was a chicken you made.
That was a chicken. So what? So talk to me about my chicken.
I know you want to hear about.
I do want to hear about my chicken.
Harold understands. Harold understands the smoky undertone of the food. That's it. If you're barbecuing, if you're grilling, you got to have you have to have meat. Like I said earlier, that is good seasoned by itself, not. With a bunch of sauces laid over it. You don't need that.
Did you like it?
Very good.
Okay, thank you. Did you taste it, Taylor?
I didn't, but can I say what I did just sample from Lefty's Barbecue?
Okay.
It is a hickory grilled pound cake with a strawberry glaze. Can I just tell you, I had two slices. Have you ever had a hickory grilled pound cake? Chef Cross, it is amazing. It is amazing. So I'm getting ready to go try Harold's chicken.
Yeah, please try it. Please try the chicken.
You know? But you know what? I do like watching how he cooks. He's really suave with it. It doesn't look like it's a problem. He turns it. He flips with style and grace. And I know you're always cooking. So.
That's right. He was doing too much, wasn't he?
That's right. We call that stove swag.
Oh, okay.
All right.
We call that little stove swag. And, you know, and for those of you who want lessons, you know, just...
Okay.
Just certainly follow.
We'll be fine.
And I do want Chef Cross, and I want some of the other chefs to have a chance to taste it too, because I'm just an amateur. But I will tell you, and I mentioned that before, so it's got some garam masala on it, the Indian.
Yeah.
Seasonings. I love garam masala.
Really, really good. It's got... an orange marmalade glaze.
Talk to me.
Sugar free.
Did you make it?
No, I didn't make it. No.
It's very easy to make.
Yeah, but you know, I didn't have time. I've got a show.
On a budget is planning in advance.
And, you know, it was, we didn't have a chance to do that. But, you know, that's certainly, you know, my recipe. And it's also got a little bit of honey in it. It's got some cayenne. It's got cumin and some other things.
You're posted online for your listeners.
I may. Well,
because you wanted the chef's tips.
Yeah.
And you wanted her to give you one of her secrets.
But I just told her.
For free.
Yeah, I just told her for free.
So I think the best way for our listeners to understand a key element of cooking and grilling on a budget is for them to have your recipe. And it sounds to me like that recipe can be prepared for less than $10.
It could very well be. But then again, maybe for $20. Look, I need to take a break. I need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Chef Sammy Davis to pick his brain about making sure that you have a perfect barbecue weekend. This is a special edition of the Daily Drum. No news tonight. We're just hanging out with our listeners, our friends. Grilling on a budget. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are in the final moments of this special edition of the Daily Drum. We're grilling on a budget. Of course, we are talking to our celebrity chefs, giving you some tips to make sure that you have the perfect cookout, the perfect barbecue event. I have with me now, I have Chef Sammy Davis. He is the owner of Milk and Honey Cafe. That's in Laurel. He also opened up one in Atlanta. Congratulations,
thank
Chef.
Thank you.
He's been on the program many times before. Now, he is, I would have to describe Chef Davis as the ninja chef. Because he, you know, when he talks about things, and you have to listen, he's aggressive with, you know, with his spices. You know, they've got spunk and verve and energy and the whole. It's like the end of a sermon at a Baptist church. That's how his food is.
The doors of the church are open.
That's right. You know. So talk to me about your philosophy for cooking, first of all.
You know, I'm Asian trained, so mm-hmm. I trained under the top Asian chefs in the world, from Roy Yamaguchi all the way to Nobu in New York City. So we're more technique-driven. So when you talk barbecue and grilling, that's right up my alley, because a lot of that is technique-driven. Of course, grilling is one thing. Barbecue is another thing.
What's the difference?
Grilling is all about high heat with a lot of seasoning and flavor. Barbecue is low heat and a lot of smoke to cook the barbecue. It's a big difference. A lot of people don't even know the difference.
I didn't know that. See, I learned something myself. So what is your specialty when it comes to, do I say barbecue? Do I say grilling? Outdoor cooking. How about that?
Outdoor cooking. Yeah. That's actually a good way to put it. I think I'm going to start using that.
There you go.
Outdoor cooking. For grilling, I like to start it indoor. It starts, you know, you get that big pot of water boiling. You get that vinegar in it. Bring it to a nice boil. Bring it down and then dump all your meats in it.
Whatever meat?
Whatever meat you got.
Chicken?
Just put chicken, pork, whatever you got.
Okay.
You can put in there. And you kind of want to par cook that. You know, you don't want to try to grill it on the grill the whole way. You want to just mark it. Use the grill for flavoring. Season it real good and use that grill for flavoring. Mm-hmm. You got to really, really, really know how to use a grill, know how to use the barbecue. The barbecue is when what's under it in the smoke is what's flavoring it. The smoke is injecting itself and flavoring the meat. You understand that? That's a big difference. You're using the flavor of the smoke to inject flavor into the meat.
That's amazing. So when you're talking about smoke and using wood, are you a wood chip guy? Do you soak the wood? Do you use a wood block?
Applewood is one of the best ones I like to use. And, you know, it gives it a good flavor. And I think hickory is a little bit too aggressive for me. When you use hickory, I don't know if you use hickory, but it's kind of like over the top. If you want to do something else to a hickory smoked piece of meat, you ain't gonna infuse two flavors with hickory. Hickory is hickory all day.
Okay.
But you can take an applewood smoke and infuse it with something else, like a good, like that barbecue sauce you're using right there.
Mm-hmm.
If you put that on applewood, you'll still be able to taste the two together.
Okay.
But once hickory hits it, it's over for it. It's going
to
be hickory.
But I want to come back to you in a bit. I want to go to Taylor because...
Because I don't grill.
Yeah, right. Taylor neither grills nor barbecues. She just wants you to know, how should I pose? Next to the table.
Next to the great presentation.
You know, so what's your favorite so far here, and in general, when you're going to, you know, a cookout, what are you looking for? What's the thing you go for?
You're going to really get me, because one of the things is I love sides. They really add to it. I'm a potato salad person. I love having a good potato salad. And, of course, we all go with the chicken.
Do you cook potato salad?
No, well, that's something that's presented there. But you said at the cookout.
No.
What do you like at the cookout? And I said.
I like everybody else's potato salad.
He said,
do you cook potato salad? But do you make it?
I make potato salad. I do make, you know what?
From Safeway.
I buy, yes, you're right. I get it from there, but I also make it. Thank you, Harold T. Fisher. But yes, and I love a good, I like the breast. I'm learning to appreciate the thigh and how people can season that for chicken. Yeah, and I'm learning that. I grew up in Europe, so you guys work with me.
Do they barbecue in Europe?
I don't ever recall doing that.
Oh.
I'm not saying that say don't do it. I just don't recall doing it. So we love the American tradition. Yes.
I guess we do.
Yes,
okay.
We do. And collard greens. But, yes, I love the barbecue sauce, too, can really make it because you can have a good piece of meat and the sauce just doesn't work with it. And maybe they're using hickory and trying to put something else on it. I'm not sure. But it really is flavorful. I love good barbecue sauce.
Well, let me talk to Troy because, Troy, I know you do a little burning.
A little bit.
Just a little bit.
A little bit.
And he's being modest. So,
I'm no chef or anything, but you know, Mama taught me a few things.
That's right. And see, you're from what? You're from that
from
Midwest
Chicago.
Which
is interesting because this part of the country, you know, folks talk about having a cookout, and we talked about having a barbecue. It was, you know, meat was the centerpiece of our outdoor cooking, you know, not a crab feast. It was more about what you were putting on the grill. And we, you know, we did a variety of things from the chicken, the ribs. We would do salmon. We would do a variety of things, you know.
So what's the thing that, you know, if you were to cook out twice a month during the course of the summer, is there a meat mainstay for you? And if so, how would you do it?
I mean, if you're having outdoor cooking, I think everybody likes all the traditional favorites. Who doesn't like to have a hot dog and a hamburger or a turkey burger? All those things should be on there, but the variety, you know, maybe not having ribs every other week. I mean, that's kind of heavy. Mm-hmm. Things that are that you can flavor well, things that you can, your prep time ahead of time kind of makes it easier for you to use the grill. Like you're using the kitchen, you know. We used to have those dinners outside on the back
the
porch.
The hibachi. Did you have
no,
a hibachi?
We had an old school Weber grill. Okay. You know, no gas, just charcoal, and that's how I really kind of learned. As a kid, my mom taught me how to cook, but then I kind of took on the barbecuing duties because I was kind of well trained by what she taught me. So
we need a cook-off. We need to do a virtual WHUR live cook-off between the news staff because I'm tired of them talking and making fun of Taylor and
that's
saying
right.
I like a pretty plate. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know how to order from the best of them, you know.
Now, here's one thing that a lot of people don't think about because we do have some vegetarians and people who don't eat meat.
And I hate those people.
Yeah, but but you know, it's in our modern times, not everyone is carnivorous. Some of us, need to see the chef, and she's just kind of turning around. But so help me. Do we need to bring the chef back over here?
She can have his seat.
No, because I know that Asian trained, vegetables still
a lot of veggies.
Vegetables still a big deal. So if you're going to cook vegetarian stuff, and you use that angry strength that I described earlier for you.
Yeah.
Talk to me about some vegetarian fare for the grill.
I think one of the best things you could put on the grill, vegetarian-wise, is zucchini and squash.
Okay.
Zucchini and squash is two of the best ones. The thing about those veggies is that you got to put oil on them. Mm-hmm. You got to put a nice oil on them. The problem with that is as soon as you get it on the grill, the flame comes up and the flame licks the meat. Immediately.
You mean the vegetables?
The vegetables, yeah. Mm-hmm. So the flame licks the veggies. So, every time the flame licks the veggies, it deposits carbon on it. The carbon is what I hate coming from a grill, even when people do it with meat. But it seems like it's going to be a little bit more. But what I like to do when I do veggies on the grill, I put a piece of foil down. To make sure.
See, Chef Cross is going to get you on the foil piece.
That was only for meat, not
just
for
vegetables.
Because they now have these grilling pans that are made out of aluminum, and they have holes in it, and it's for vegetables.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of times when, a lot of times
exactly
when I've tried to cook asparagus, it drops the grill.
Exactly. And the problem is, I guess somebody saw that you had to use oil. Uh-huh. You had to put oil on there, and the oil makes the flame come up. The flame is what you don't want on anything off the grill. So if you could put a piece of foil down, which I do, you could poke little holes in it. You just want the heat and some residual flavor from that.
I like that. Now, Chef Cross, talk to me about vegetables that you like to grill.
I like to grill everything on the grill. I mean, even put fruit and I even put peaches on the grill.
Let's talk about that because that's something we haven't discussed a lot about the grilling of fruit. What happens when you put, you know, pineapples or peaches?
Since fruit are naturally sweet, you know, even if you get a watermelon or a peach or something that doesn't have that taste that you're looking for when you bite into it, it's naturally sweet, so it actually has sucralose in it. So when you grill it, it brings out the sweetness and it makes it char. And when you taste it, that's when you get a lot of the sweetness. It just brings it right to the surface.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That char on a piece of pineapple, that heat is going to bring that flavor full body. Mm-hmm. It's amazing what a peach can do on a grill. When that heat hits it and it opens up and begins to caramelize, amazing.
You know, and I promised Muriel Garr earlier that I was going to share. No, Muriel, you can keep eating. But I promised that I was going to share some of my recipes.
Yes.
And so Chef Cross was talking about fruit. You know, I sliced an envy apple. You familiar with the envy apples?
Mm-hmm.
Really interesting. And then you put a little bit of cayenne, a little bit of honey, and you grill them until, you know, they're just, you know.
I normally do the honey afterwards, though.
Well, this is during the last 2 minutes or so.
Okay.
And then you slide. And this is the important thing. You slide. You don't scoop. You slide the vanilla ice cream on. And so you've got a little hot. You've got a sweet. You've got the cold. It, like I said, it's stove swag. Didn't I say that? It's stove swag. You got to slide the vanilla ice cream on. And one of the other things, too, one of the things I like, sweet potatoes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sweet potatoes. With, again, I love garam masala. I use a little garam masala, a little canola oil. But then I'll do a coarse hot mustard and maple syrup. And I'll glaze that. And that's almost like a dessert. So there you have it. Listen, I want to thank everyone for coming. Muriel, thank you so much. It's always great to have you here. Chef Cross, Sammy Davis, Judge Taylor, Troy Johnson. And I want to thank all of our contestants and our winners. Thank you so much. Can a brother get a plate? How about that? Listen, that is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, July 7th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Taylor Thomas, Troy Johnson, Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins, engineers Craig Fowler and Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. You can follow me on Twitter at HFisher, WHUR, or Daily Drum, WHUR. Now stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night. Have a wonderful weekend, and invite me to your barbecue. I'll see you next week.